and I'm an alcoholic. Hi. Terrified to be up here. I've always had a fear of public speaking, and it's coming true. I didn't think I had to pee, but I really do now. So, my sponsor asked me, "Do you have to pee?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, no." Yeah, okay. Anyways, I'm sorry. My sobriety date is November 19th, 2009, and almost at my 6 months next week, so happy about that. And I have two home groups, and this is the one nearest and dearest to my heart, because it's the first meeting I ever walked into. And I also have a home group at Fireside at Turning Point. Gosh, I can't even think. I also have a sponsor. She's amazing, and she's helped me through this journey, and I can't thank her enough. And a little bit about how it all began. And what happened, and where I'm at right now. So, I grew up in Chicago until I was about 12 years old, and to two loving parents. Although my father was an alcoholic, he did love me very much, and my mother was a very beautiful, loving, nurturing woman that took very good care of me and my sister, but she was an enabler and really didn't help with the situation, so it was a little tough at times. But when I was truly young, we really I remember happy times. So I can't really say that, you know, I had a horrific childhood or anything like that. But my dad's alcoholism did rear its ugly head when I got a little bit older. But I did, sometimes I can't decide if I'm a good girl trying to be bad or a bad girl trying to be good. I think I've struggled with this my whole life. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. I know that I've always felt God in my heart, so that wasn't something coming into this program that I had to work on in regards to our steps 2 and 3. I just thought he was more someone I would fear versus someone that was loving. And I've learned now that it's a loving God, and he loves me and all of my defects, and one of them being fear, and fear of just like tonight coming up here. I would say that's my biggest character defect, but I don't remember that it was a defect when I was young. I was very social. I was very happy as a child that I can remember. I did have some incidents that I've discovered in recovery that have kind of brought me back, that I did have inappropriateness when I was young, and kind of defined my whole drinking career and what I would do to get attention and things like that, which was horrific. But I'm getting through that, and I'm working through that right now as well. But truly going into high school, which, just to go back a little bit, I moved from Chicago when I was 12 over to Michigan to our summer home. And it was a beautiful place, but it was in the middle of like Corntown, USA. And it was such a big, you know, culture shock for me to go from a big city to a small town. And it was but it was the best move for me, because I could even see when I was young, like I said, the whole bad girl trying to be a good thing. I know that I did some things when I was young that I shouldn't have. I started smoking cigarettes at 9, Virginia Slims Light 100s, I can remember it, and it was, you know, ridiculous. But I had all older friends, and they were very, they were a big influence on me. And then I even tried some little things called Pink Hearts, which were some speed, I found out, that because they wanted me to do it, so I did it. I was kind of like that, and I was very, like, out to do what my friends wanted to do, and especially because they're older and I wanted to be cool. And it was a blessing to move out to Michigan, though, to the small town. Because once I got there, then It was life-changing because everyone there, no one I knew drank. It was a beautiful thing. We were very involved in athletics and academics, and it was awesome. And I was very fortunate. So, you know, pretty much my junior high and high school years were doing that. I just never even dreamed, you know, that I'd have a problem. But then I went to college. And college was a whole different experience for me. I was out of my comfort zone, and it was just one party after another. And coming from that, like, great little small group that I had in high school, sorry, it's a bug. I totally wasn't used to, like, party scenes or anything like that. And, of course, got in a sorority, and then all the fraternity sorority parties, and it was just a party all of the time. And gosh, I'm nervous. So sorry. So once I got started with, or got my drink on, because it was the first time I really ever drank, it was off to the races. So for me, it was this wonderful new life that I didn't know existed, and it gave me a confidence I'd never known. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. I love to party. I'm a party girl, and and that's what I've done my whole life. I'm a social butterfly, and you know, so I mean, I didn't really think there, you know, there's a problem with it. I thought everybody did that, and it was just, it was so, you know, it was just so cool to just be, you know, the cool party girl, and, you know, just not worry about grades and all of that. And even though I had a scholarship when I went, because I graduated top five in my class in high school, and it was a surprise to my parents when I got into my, or after my first semester of my freshman year, I got a 0.79. I don't know if anybody can do that, but I did. So, grade point average. I lost my scholarship. It was awful. And I had to go to the Board of Education and talk to them personally and write some sort of 20-page letter, which back then you wrote stuff. And, sorry, my age. So they actually accepted me back in, you know, probation, and I didn't learn from it. I actually even had to talk to a counselor, and he said, "You may consider the fact that you're an alcoholic." Like, what? Like, how could that be? There's no way I'm an alcoholic. My father's an alcoholic. He drinks every day. I didn't ever drink every day. I partied a lot, but I didn't drink every day, and I never felt like waking up and drinking. And that was a freshman. I mean, I still don't get it, to be honest, but he saw the writing on the wall, so I should have listened, saved myself a lot of pain, but continued the party life and loved it, and somehow started to get my grades up, and didn't end up graduating, which is really embarrassing to admit, but because I went to 5 years of college, like, completely. And my senior year, I inherited some money, and I'd never had really that much money before, and I just decided to, oh, I'll just take a semester off, and never went back. So I never actually got the degree, but got a lot of education, so I don't know. Anyway, so I... goodness, this is hard. So because, you know, I was doing those things in college, all of that, I learned a pattern of living. It set forth the rest of my life. And I try to sometimes reach back and think, where was I when I was the most happiest? When I wasn't drinking, when I wasn't doing crazy things. And that was high school for sure. And I'm discovering right now of how to learn to live that life again, because after college, like I said, a pattern had formed, and I no longer had security without drinking. I always had to have a drink in my hand, even talk to people, and that's carried over for many, many, many years. And I'm kind of mad at myself, to be honest, that it's taking me this long to get here, because I see all of you, a lot of you, I should say, that are in your 20s and stuff, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that you're here. You are willing to go through this and decide at an early age that, you know, you need to do this. And it's, I wish I could go back, but I know I'm actually right where I'm supposed to be right now, at this very moment, up here, and growing. So, And I know God, it's all God's in God's plan. I am a true believer. And whether I want things to happen a little bit quicker or not, it's up to Him. And I'm thankful, at least, you know, that I am here right now. But anyway, so did some things in my late 20s and 30s. I moved to Tampa and from Michigan with my sister. And it was awesome. We actually probably like rock stars, of course, and we had like our house was we had this beautiful house in West Chase, and it was Club Lawless, if anyone knows my last name. And it was seriously, I knew all DJs. It was just a rocking time, and we knew that's when we even dabbled in some drugs. Now it wasn't my poison, but we definitely did some crazy, crazy shit. So I was thankful that I was able to let it go, though. But I continue on my drinking years, and I did things that I can't take back. I hurt my sister very, very bad, and I truly have to make amends to her soon and hope for her forgiveness, but know that I can do everything on my part to make my life better. And in time, it'll be up to her. And I can't have expectations about that. So I'm just living my amends right now and trying to do this. And at first, I didn't know where to turn. And it sounds crazy because most people, why haven't, especially my age, you know, why haven't I heard of AA? Well, I did hear of AA, and I tried it once 10 years ago, and I wasn't ready. So I ran out of there. And I tried to actually run out of there, or run out of here the very first night I came here. But I knew one person in this entire world who was sober through my sister, and I had briefly known him. And so Ryan kind of led me here to a young people's group, but I didn't even know y'all were AA people. So I just thought, oh, young people's group, okay, and they don't drink. All right, I'm going to learn how to live, you know, and have fun again. So I'm like, okay, I'll go check it out. And I walked in, and of course y'all are scary, and it's just overwhelming, and I'm looking around, and I'm sitting there, and I'll never forget, I tried to sit down, someone said, no, that seat is saved. I was like, oh my goodness, but I know. Not saying anything wrong. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I was just like telling my story, but I'm sure they meant absolutely no, you know, ill will about it. But it was just kind of one of those situations where I was like, oh, okay. I was like, no, I don't know what to do. But I sat here and I listened, and someone told their story that night, and I related so much, which I hope anyone can relate to me tonight, and I can help them. And as I was leaving, of course, I wanted to bolt out the door, that back door, and I had my eyes on it, and I was just about to go out until this beautiful young girl just grabbed my hand and started saying the Our Father prayer. I was like, what is up? I grew up Catholic, and I was like, is everyone in here Catholic? I didn't understand. And Monica's like, no. She's like, are you new? I'm like, yes, I am. And so it was just like, you know, and right away she just took me over to the table and gave me my first big book, and just everybody, you know, started introducing themselves, and I had these other two beautiful young ladies come up to me and just asked me if I want to go to daily eats with them. And I was terrified. I haven't gotten along with women in a really long time, and I don't even know how to talk to women, and I'm learning, but, and I was just like, okay, and then I think I hid in the bathroom for a while, but I finally came out. I think they were a little worried, but I came out, and we went to Daily Eats, and they stayed with me for almost 4 hours, and I got to tell my story for the first time, and I wasn't alone. It was the most elating and freeing moment of my life, because I really thought I was an alien. I thought I was some freak of nature, because no one else I knew had this problem. No one. And like I said, I didn't know a sober person. So I just thank God for them and that night. And one of them, Jessica, she's my sponsor today, and she was right away. I just knew it. And I thank God for her. And I just want to say that I'm very thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for all of you, because I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to be able to live a sober life now. I know that. And I know I just have to take action. And I have to constantly stay in action to do this because there's no other way to do it. You can't just sit back on the sidelines. You can't just show up at a meeting. You can't just talk to a person once in a while. There's so much to do. And you have to reach out. And you've got to do the uncomfortable like tonight. And you have to. This is so awful. And none of you make fun of me afterwards. So by working my steps and by listening to all of you and just showing up, I'm going to make it for the very first time. So thank you.